with salvation through Jesus Christ and defeating our enemy, which is Satan. And in that, all the nations of the world will worship God. All right, that's what God is up to. That is what he's trying to do. We have not reached that goal yet because all of the nations of the earth are not worshiping God right now. And we're going to talk about a little bit, you know, how far we are here in just a second. But what we said is, in order to fulfill God's purpose, it's going to take the church. The local church is the hope of the world. It's you and me. We're not talking about the institution, the church. We're talking about the body of believers, the church. That's you and me. It's going to take all of us working together as a team in order to complete the goal of reaching the nations for Christ. And each one of us have an individual part to play. We all have a part to play in this. All of us are called to minister to the nations. But see, in all of our lives, it's going to look differently. All right, some people are called to go. Not everybody is called to go to Africa and live the rest of their life there ministering to the tribes in Africa. Some of you are like, yes, because I don't want to go. But there's things that we can do right here in Batesville, Arkansas, that can affect the nations for Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about the next 2 weeks, is six ways that we can reach the nations. And as I said, it is all of our jobs to reach the nations. And as a matter of fact, say this after me, reaching the nations is my responsibility. Let's say that again. Reaching the nations. Take your finger and do this. Is my responsibility. Each and every one of us are called. We're all called to be ministers of Jesus Christ. Wherever we are. We're not all called into full-time ministry. But see, God has given you gifts. He's given you talents. He's given you passions. And he wants you to use those for his glory. That's fulfilling your purpose in life. Living life on purpose. Are you going to use your gifts and talents and passions for his glory or for your benefit? He wants you to use them for his glory. And that's what we're going to talk about. How can we do this? What are some ways that we can do this? But before we get into the six ways, I kind of want to introduce some terms and some ideas to you about missions and kind of where we're at as far as trying to reach the nations. Has anybody ever heard of the 1040 window? It's not really a common term that a lot of Christians know. If you listen to K-Love, you'll hear them mention that every once in a while. But the 1040 window is actually 10 degrees south and 40 degrees north of the equator on the other side of the world. This is North Africa, the Middle East, India, China, all right in that area. That is the 1040 window. There are 69 nations within the 1040 window. And in this place, it's the seat of every major non-Christian religion. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism. This is where all of these are headquartered at, are within the 1040 window, right there. And let me give you some facts about the 1040 window. That two-thirds of the world's population, 4 billion people, live within the 1040 window. Two-thirds of the world's population. Over 90% of these 4 billion people are unevangelized. That means that either there's not a church in their area, there's no one preaching the gospel in their area, and there's less than 2% of that group claim to be Christians. Two-thirds of the world population right here in this one area. Of these 69 nations, witnessing the Christian gospel is illegal and result in imprisonment and or death. 45 of the 50 worst countries in the world for persecution of Christians are within the 1040 window. Child prostitution and child slavery run rampant in many of these nations. A majority of the world's terrorist organizations are based within the 1040 window. This is the least reached area of the world, right here. And this is the reason right here, because it's the seat of Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and other religions. Right there. And if you'll go ahead and put up the next map. This map right here shows where the church is established, where it's in the works, and where it is a lot of unreached people. All right? Let me kind of explain the unreached people real quick. The way a lot of missionary societies describe the world, they used to describe it into nations. You know, we're trying to reach the nations, the physical nations. But they found out that within the nations themselves, there are many different people groups, many different cultures, many different languages within a nation. And so they've realized that we don't need to try to just reach the nation. We need to reach into these individual people groups. And so that's the way they kind of divide it up now as people groups. And in the world today, there are 16,000. Where did I write that number down at? Where did it go? It's this page. 16,655. Did I say that right? 16,655 people groups in the world today. All right? That's all over the world. The unreached people groups, which are groups of people that are less than 2% Christian. Usually they don't have a church. Sometimes they don't have the Bible in their language, and there's no one working among them. Less than 2%. These are what we call unreached people groups. And there are 7,051 unreached people groups still left in the world. If you're doing the math in your head, that's 42.3% of the world's people groups are unevangelized. All right, and most of them are within this area right here. See, this red right here is the least reached or the unreached people groups of the world. And it's amazing how they're all clumped together right there. That's the 1040 window. The least reached, the unevangelized in the world. Within the 1040 window, 87% of the poorest people in the world are living there. They live on less than $250 annually per family. Now, I don't think it's any mistake that those kind of coincide. That they're unevangelized and they're the poorest. Because if we go back to the original plan of God, God wants to bring blessings to the nations. And where Christ is not preached, it is not blessed. And I believe as we begin to preach Christ in these nations, as we bring the gospel to these nations and they begin to turn their hearts to Christ, that things will turn around for them. I believe that economically things will turn around for them. Now, I'm not saying that God's main goal is to give everybody a bunch of money. That's not what I'm saying. But there is something there about God's blessing and being out of poverty. I believe there's a connection there on that. So that's kind of the 1040 window, the least reached area in the world. And sadly, that 95% of all the money given in the American church stays in America. See, America is the most evangelized nation in the world. And 95% of all the money that is given to the church stays in America to evangelize the most evangelized nation in the world. Only 5% goes to missions. That's missions worldwide. Of that 5% that's given to mission, 5% of the 5% goes to the 1040 window. There's a huge need in this area for the gospel. There's a huge need for workers. There's a huge need for us to be praying for the people in this area that Christ would be preached, that the gospel will go to this area. And before we go on, though, we're going to talk about three ways that we can reach the nations from right here in Batesville, Arkansas. Three things we can do. Next week, we'll talk about the other three. But as we talk about these three, I want to let you know I have a table set up out in the foyer with information. The first one we're going to talk about is we need to learn. We need to be educated about what's going on in the world. And part of this table out here is a lot of information about how we can reach the unreached. What are things that we can do? What are some steps that we can take today that we can begin to reach the nations for Christ? There's one sheet out there. It's called Missions Next Steps. I'd love for every one of you people to grab one of those and see what you can do to reach the nations. There's also how to pray for unreached people groups. And because lots of people, you know, they want to pray for people and they want to be able to reach out to these people through prayer. But then they get down to prayer and they're like, I don't really know what to pray for these people. You know, God bless them. God send someone to minister to them. I don't know. I got a sheet out there that gives you tons of ways to pray for unreached people groups. It's actually 5 pages long. If you can pray through that, man, I think you're going to cover a lot of ground in prayer in that. Also, we're going to be doing a small group study coming up in July. We're going to start July 15th and go through August the 12th. It's going to be a small group study on how we can personally reach the nations. We're going to go a little bit more in depth, what I'm going to be talking about the next 2 weeks. Do some video stuff and discuss, you know, how can we reach the nations? There's a sign-up sheet out there for you to write your name and stuff. We're going to do it on Sunday afternoons, just right after second service. We're going to have food and just do our study right then, so you don't have to, like, leave and come back. And my prayer is that God is stirring up your hearts for the nations, that God is placing on your heart what you are supposed to be doing, because we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play in this, and we need to all find what it is for us. And through this small group study, we'll help you discover what it is that God's called you to do in reaching the nations. During that time also, we did it these specific dates on purpose, because in Islam, every year they have a month that they dedicate to prayer and fasting so that they can get guidance from their God, Allah. And this is during that month of Ramadan. All right, and it's 30 days of fasting and prayer that the Muslims do. And I believe that we can fast and pray at the same time for their salvation, because we can pray that God will open their eyes to who Christ really is. And while they're seeking God for direction, we're seeking God for them to give them, let them see the light of who Jesus Christ really is. And during that time, we're going to pray for the Muslims as they're praying and fasting. And I believe it's going to be a powerful time that God's going to use our efforts right here in Batesville, Arkansas, to reach people that we're never going to meet halfway around the world. And so let's get into this. How can I personally get involved in reaching the nations? I'm going to give you three today and three next week. And I believe these three that we're going to talk today that we can all do, that we're all called to do all three of these to some extent. All right, the first one is learn. The first one is learn. I read a quote by Wayne Dyer. He said this. He said, "The highest form of ignorance is when you reject something you don't know anything about." And I believe there's a lot of ignorant Christians in America today that have no clue what's going on around the world, has no clue what God is doing in anywhere besides America. And see, ignorance isn't a bad word. It just basically means you don't know. You're uninformed. And there's a great remedy for ignorance. It's called learning. And I believe that God has called us all to learn. I believe that God has called us all to tap into seeing what He's doing around the world, because God is at work in the world today. God is doing something in the world today. And lots of times we don't see it here in America because, again, we lived in the most evangelized nation in the world. There's a church on every corner. If you haven't heard the name of Jesus in America, then you're hiding in a cave somewhere. And so we get so accustomed to the way church is done in America that we forget there's a whole world out there. And God is active and at work, and there's thousands and thousands of people getting saved every single day, to where we get excited if we get, you know, 50 people saved in a year here in America. There's people getting saved every single day. God is adding to His church daily those who are being saved. And God wants us to be a part of that. But we have to learn. It says in Proverbs 18, verse 15, it says, "The intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge." I believe God's called us all to learn about what's going on. I believe that if we truly want to be able to reach the Muslims, if we truly want to reach the Hindus, the Buddhists, then we've got to learn about them. Because if we don't know what they believe, we don't know their social structures, we don't understand how they live their life, then how are we going to reach them? I believe it's vitally important to that we understand and know and learn about the people we are trying to reach. And I believe it's all of our jobs to learn. What is God doing? What is God up to? Who are the people that are unreached? What can I do to help reach these people? See, a lot of Christians reject the idea of reaching out to the Muslims, the Hindus, the Buddhists because they don't know who these people are. See, a lot of people in America, when you say Muslim, what's the first thing that pops in their mind? Terrorism. 9/11. But see, if you dig into Islam, you'll see that there's a very small sect of Islam that are the radicals that believe that if you're not a Muslim, then I need to kill you. And if I kill you, then I'm going to be rewarded in heaven for that. Only about 15% of all Muslims believe that and follow that. There's a branch of Islam called the Shia. And these are the ones that are the radicals. The rest of the Muslims looks at these people and say, these people are crazy. We don't associate with these people. 85% of all Muslims, their branch is called the Sunni. I think it's called the Sunni Muslims. And they're peaceful. They're very loving people. And for us to judge all of Islam because of the 15% radicals, it's not right. See, if we just listen in the media about what they're saying about different groups, then we're going to have a skewed view of people. This is called racism. And I believe it's the highest form of ignorance that there is. Because how can you hate a whole race of people that you don't know? How are you going to hate a whole race of people because of what one of them did to you, what one of them said to you, or did to somebody you knew? See, knowledge is so vitally important if you're going to fulfill God's purpose in your life. If you're truly going to step out and fill the role of reaching the nations in your life, you need to learn who you're trying to reach. What is God doing? How can I be a part of this? We need to learn. How do we learn? We got to read. There's articles, there's biographies, there's stories. There's websites that give you tons of information about the different people groups, about the different religions. And one thing that I have on the table out here is that each week that I'm going to highlight a different religion. This week I have Islam back there, and I have some facts about Islam and how Islam is being reached for Christ. And there's a fact sheet out there that you can grab and learn a little bit about it. And there's some websites that it gives you. Also, another thing I put out on that table is I have little prayer cards. Islam is the second largest religion in the world, right under Christianity. It's the second largest. And what I've done is I've printed out these little prayer cards of unreached people groups. And I just picked Afghanistan. Because it was number one on the list. It's the first in alphabetical order. So I picked Afghanistan, and it's mostly a Muslim nation. And in Afghanistan itself, there are over 78 people groups. 66 of those are unreached. That means there's less than 2% of them that are Christian. And I've printed out little prayer cards for you to go back there and grab. And if you grab one of these, I want you to pray for that people group every day for at least 1 week. I hope that you continue to pray for them after that 1 week, but I'm just challenging you to grab a card and pray for that unreached people group for 1 week, every day for 1 week. Hang it on your refrigerator every time you see it, pray for them. This one right here is the Tajiks of Afghanistan. And it's one of the largest people groups. There's 8 million of them in Afghanistan. And what you can do, there's a website down here, it's joshuaproject.net. If you go to that website and there's a search bar on the top, if you type in exactly what it says right there, it'll bring up this people group and give you detailed information about this people group, what they're like, what's their culture like, how you can pray for these people. It'll tell you if they have a Bible translation in their language. Is there a church there? And I believe that as we begin to pray for these different people groups, that God will begin to move in their lives. Search the internet about this. Take a class. There's classes that are offered on different religions. There's classes that are offered about missions. In fact, I took one this spring called Perspectives. And it's something that's been offered in Batesville for many years, and I really didn't know anything about it. But someone challenged me to take it, and I felt that God wanted me to do that. And this is what stirred me up about missions, is I took this 15-week class. And it's pretty intense class. I mean, it's... I mean, they give you homework and reading and all that stuff. But man, it has changed the way that I look at the world. It changed the way that I look at the Bible and how I read the Bible and what God's plan is and what God's plan is for my life. And I want to challenge you. And in fact, I'm trying to get it hosted at the church here next spring so that we can offer it to all you guys. It's open to the community. But I want to try to get here in this church and try to get this church mobilized and excited about missions and get a heart for missions that God has. Because that's God's heart, is for people to be saved, and He wants them all over the world to be saved. Don't let ignorance stop you from fulfilling your God-given purpose. We need to learn. So number one is learn. Number two is pray. Number two thing that we can do to reach the nations is pray. See, I believe prayer is the most powerful tool that we have available to us. I believe that it's the most effective tool that we have in our lives, because that gives us the direct line to the Creator of the universe. And I believe that as we pray, that we can activate God in our lives. We can activate the promises of God in our lives and other people's lives. But sadly, prayer is the most neglected tool that we have as Christians. I believe so many Christians fall way short in their prayer life, including myself. This is something that I've been convicted on, that I don't pray enough. And sadly, most of our prayers that we pray are about us. They're about, God bless me, God help me with this, God, you know, help my family. You know, God, and there, a lot of them are personal prayers. See, we need to be using prayers for God to reach the nations. Pray for people that are unreached. Prayer. Let's read some scriptures about prayer. Matthew 6, Jesus said, "Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That was his prayer, that his kingdom will come. Not just to America. Not just to Jerusalem, but all over the world. God, I want your kingdom to come to the entire world. Matthew 9:36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into the field." See, the harvest is great. If you look at the 10:40 window, the harvest is immense. It is huge what God has ready. He just needs people to go into harvest. He needs people learning. He needs people praying for these people. I believe it's all of our jobs to be a part of missions, whether we ever leave America or not. We all have a part to play. So what are some resources? The Joshua Project website. It's an amazing website if you're into missions. I mean, it has all kinds of information about every people group all across the world. And one thing that it does, it has an unreached people group of the day. All right, you can go to their website and see it. They have a Facebook page. Every morning when I start reading through my Facebook stuff, I see the unreached people group of the day, and I'll stop and I'll pray for them. It's a small thing that we can do that doesn't take long. You don't have to pray an hour a day for an unreached people group. Take 5 minutes out of your day and pray. God might lay a specific people group on your heart for you to pray for every single day. You have unreached people groups. Almost every missionary you'll ever meet has a newsletter that they send out. They have a website that they update regularly. Then they'll tell you their needs and how you can pray for them. There's all kinds of resources out there to find ways to pray. We have that sheet back here on the table about how to pray for unreached people groups. There's another piece of paper out there that's the top 100 unreached people groups in the world. Take that list and pray for one a day for the next 100 days. There's all kinds of things that we can do. Maybe you can start a prayer group for a specific unreached people group or for a certain missionary. And like we talked about a while ago, Ramadan, the 30 days of fasting and prayer for Islam. What a great opportunity to pray for the Muslim people. What a great opportunity to pour your heart out to God and just to ask God to open their eyes to see who Christ really is, and that they'll come to salvation. But I want to challenge every single one of you to join this small group that we're doing in July and August, because I believe that it's going to be eye-opening and it's going to ignite a passion in the people of this church for us to reach outside of these four walls and out of this community and reach out into the world for Him. So number one, we need to learn. Number two, we need to pray. Number three, we need to send. We need to send. And this is not just giving money. Now, anytime you give tithes and offerings to this church, you're giving towards missions. This church supports many missions, some in the States, some out of the States. We support Ernest E. Hobby in Cameroon. We support Watoto in Uganda. We help build wells for other countries. There's all kinds of things that the church supports. Every time you give, your money goes towards planting churches all over America through the Ark. As you give to this church, you're giving towards missions. But I believe that God has called us beyond what the church is doing, and us personally be senders. And it's not just money. True senders do more than just give money. I believe that a true sender, God will lay a missionary or a mission group on your heart for you to be a sender for that particular person or group. And through that, you can pray for this missionary and their work. You can give financially. You can encourage them through letters and cards and emails, giving care packages. You can Skype with them. Anybody know what Skype is? Some missionary Skype. You can talk to them while they're on the mission field and encourage them. When they're in the States, you can invite them into your home and you know, just sit down with them and talk with them. Let them tell their stories. Let them share their heart with you. Provide meals. Provide a place for them to stay. You can pray with them while they're there and encourage them and build them up while they're here. Don't you know missionaries need encouragement? Because there's times that missionaries will go to a certain people group and it'll be a year or two before one person gets saved. Man, they need some encouragement. They need someone. They need to know that someone's there praying for them and supporting them. Better yet, you can go visit them while they're on the field and help them do what they're called to do. I believe we can all be senders. See, all three of these things you can do and not leave Batesville, Arkansas. And you'll be involved in missions in a mighty way. So let's imagine for a second, what would it look like if every single Christian in the world, every single person that calls themselves a Christ follower in the world, did their part in reaching the nations? What would that look like? How would the world be different if every single one of us did what we were called to do? Whether it be just to simply pray or send, to learn, maybe it's to go. What if we all were involved? I believe that every single missionary would be fully funded, that they wouldn't have to worry about money, that they would have all the manpower that they needed to do what God has called them to do. I believe that every single missionary would have people praying for them every single day. What about the people groups? What would the people groups look like? There's over 7,000 that are unreached, that have less than 2% Christians within their people group. What if we were all involved in doing our part in missions? Every single people group would be prayed for every single day. I believe that every single people group would have someone on the field within them beginning to spread the gospel. I believe that they had every single people group would have someone working to plant a church within that people group. Can you imagine that if all of us were activated, all of us were doing our part, how quickly we could see God's plan and God's purpose be fulfilled? In which is every nation, every people, every tribe, every language worshiping God. See, I can't wait to get to heaven. Not because, you know, I do want to see Jesus and all that stuff and see the streets of gold and the pearly gates and all that wonders. I want to be there for the worship services. When I hear someone from India worshiping God from their culture, in their language, from their heart, someone from China, someone from Afghanistan, someone from Iraq, someone from England, someone from America, someone from Brazil, all together worshiping God and bringing glory to God in their own personal way, from their own heart. It's going to be an amazing thing to behold. Just to see the variety that God has created. And He wants the entire variety to worship Him and to bring glory to Him. Can you imagine that? So if we all do our part, God's plan, making God's plan a reality, every tribe, every people, every nation, every tongue worshiping Him. Let me read you this one thing to you, then I'll be done. As I was doing some research this week, I came across this and I thought, this is what it's about right here. Why? Why are we to complete the task of reaching the nations? Why should we do it? Not because it's our duty, even though it is. Not because it will bring eternal life to many, though it will. Not because it will improve living conditions of the poor, though it will. Not because it will improve stability in the world's institutions, though it will. Not because it will improve environmental stewardship, though it will. Not because we will be rewarded, though we will. We should disciple the nations because Jesus is worthy to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive praise. We should do it because He is worth it. Because He is worth it. His plan and His purpose is worth us living and giving up our own selfish desires and our own plans and our own purposes for our life. We need to live life on purpose, and we only find purpose is when we hook up with God's purpose. That is our challenge for the next 2 to 3 weeks, is find out what God's purpose for our life is. He's given us all gifts, talents, and passions. Those are all God-given, and He wants you to use those for His glory, not for yourself. How are you going to use your gifts and your talents and your passions for His glory? What is it going to look like in this church? How are you going to serve this church with those passions and talents? How are you going to serve your community? How are you going to serve those on the outside, the poor and the oppressed in our community? How are you going to serve the nations with what God has placed on the inside of you? Because we're called to all of them. We're called to all be involved. How are you going to be involved? Are you going to be a team player? Are you going to be a part of God's team and do what He's called us to do or not? Let's pray. God, we love You. Thank You so much, God, for Your perfect plan. And God, within that perfect plan, You use imperfect people to fulfill Your plan. Father, thank You for allowing us to be a part of that. God, thank You for calling us. God, we're not here by accident. Our parents might not have planned us, but You planned us. God, and You've gifted us. God, You've called us to the nations. God, I pray that as we seek Your heart this week, God, that You reveal to us what our plan is. God, what is our part? Is it to pray? Is it to send? God, is it to go? God, what is it You need us to do, God, to see Your world reached for Jesus Christ? God, I just pray that You're just stirring a passion on the inside of us individually and as a church for the nations. God, I just pray that as the further we learn, as the further we pray, the further we sin, God, the more excited we get, God, the more we see that You at work in the nations and lives being changed. God, so that they will all glorify You. God, thank You for what You're doing right here. God, thank You for the passions You're stirring up, God. Father, and I just pray that as we go back to our jobs, God, as we go back to our family, God, that we go on purpose. God, that we go with Your purpose. God, in spreading the love of Jesus. God, that we're spreading the gospel. God, and just show us how we need to do that, Father God. Help us to be purposeful in our lives and not just allow life to happen. But God, help us to live life on purpose. Father, we thank You and we love You. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you so much for listening. You are dismissed.